Welcome to the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com, where we have all the two-wheel racing that's fit to talk about and...
Some that isn't.
And some of it that isn't fit to talk about.
Some that isn't fit to talk about. So we got some rumors to talk about. We got AMA Flat Track was at a... was in... at Remington Park. Where is that? That is... is that Illinois? Is that, no, Oklahoma City. I'm sorry. Oklahoma City. They're at OKC. That's what I was hashtag tweeting. World Superbike was at Mizano, and Motocross was at High Point, which I love that track.
And unfortunately, I didn't get to see Motocross this weekend because my car overruled me. It said you will work on me, and you will like it, and you will sweat like a dog.
You will. It was hot as
and
Hades.
Humid as hell, yes. And I had a fan blowing on me in my garage, and sweat was dripping off me working on that car, which I did like that car, but I think I hate it now.
Yeah, I would burn that car in effigy. So let's talk a little bit of flat track, right? Oklahoma City was a mile. Mm-hmm. Shayna Texter. I can't stop talking about Shayna Texter right now.
Seems like there's a lot to talk about her lately.
There is. So she ended up in the LCQ. Mm-hmm. Came out of the LCQ to win in the singles.
Damn it. Another example of somebody.
Another example of somebody proving us wrong.
It's you know, it's not like I mind being proven wrong. It's just not so often.
Yeah. You know? Third win this year. Third win on the mile. Mm-hmm. So I think they've done 4 miles, and she has 3 wins in a second.
That's pretty impressive.
Right?
Where is she in the point standing?
She's number one.
That's scary, isn't it?
Right? By 11 points, she's number one.
Pressure's got to be really high on her.
The pressure's got to be high. But listen to this stat. She's missed 2 races.
And she's leading the championship.
She's leading the championships. When she makes the, right? She didn't race Daytona, and she didn't race the TT in Illinois, right? Because she doesn't fare well on the TTs and make the finals and stuff, right? In Illinois, I think she ran a twin. When she races, her worst finish this season so far is third when she makes the finals. Right? I don't think she made the final in Daytona. I think she tried the TT, but she didn't make the final. And oh, no, I'm sorry. She's 3 for 3. I'm sorry, I was wrong. She's 3 for 3 on mile long. No, I'm sorry. 3 wins and a third
on
the mile.
Isn't it a good thing she's not an attractive woman?
Huh?
I'm making a joke, Phil.
I was going to say, she's pretty easy on the eyes.
No, I was making a joke.
Believe it or not, what was it, 2 years ago I went up to Hagerstown and we interviewed her and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought she was much cuter in real life than she comes off on television.
She was a lot younger back then. Yeah, she's probably pretty young to begin with,
yeah,
right?
She's like, what, 24, 25?
Is she even that old? I was going to say 23, 22.
She's Elena Meyer's age, right? Yeah. And 23, 24, somewhere in there.
Well, Elena Meyer, we always talk about how young she was. She was racing when she was 16. We were at her peak, right?
Yeah, that's when she got her first race win. She was like 17 or 16.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Shayna Texter was pretty young, but she might be 24. You could be right.
Right. But that's 7 years ago, right? 2010 was Elena Meyer's win.
Yeah.
Or 9, something like that. So that's 7 or 8 years ago.
That's true.
Right? They're getting old. We're going to have to find, you know, it's like, hey. Old. They're like,
not
they're
like
wives.
Not like us, because we're regressing. So
yeah, we're regressing. I'm always regressing. But I'm just amazed that, I don't want to say that I'm amazed that a woman is leading the points.
You can do that. I think it's acceptable nowadays.
But I'm amazed that it's not getting more coverage than it's getting. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of am amazed that she's like leading the points and doing so well because she did have a couple bad seasons.
Yeah, she
right.
I mean,
but then she was to Richie Morris Racing.
She wasn't in the news at all.
No, her working with Richie Morris Racing has really paid off. So good for her. I'm glad for her. Jared Mee Indian dominates again in the twins. Right. I don't know what Harley. The only thing Harley can do now is like pay somebody to put sand in the gas tanks of the Indians. That's their only chance of winning.
So here you.
We have not had a winner whose name wasn't Mees or Smith this season.
So, okay, so you remember how small she was, Shayna Texter. You remember how small she was?
Yeah, she's like 5'1.
She's like 5.
Okay. I was like going to say 5'8. If I were to guess, I would say 5. I would have said 5'1, 110.
She's 5'95.
Okay.
And you're closer to being right. She is actually 26 years old.
26? Okay.
So she's older than Elena Myers.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Or Elena Myers is older than I thought. 10 years. Yeah, no, she is an older. She's 2 years older probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something like that. But I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed that that's such a great story that doesn't seem to get a ton of. I hope during the X Games they allow the singles to run and she gets some publicity there.
This is like her 6th year in singles. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That's a long time for not getting a lot of press, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
well,
talked about her years ago, but I don't know going back that far.
Well, we talked about her when she got her first win because that was big news.
I think we talked about her around that time when Elena Myers won because we were saying we mentioned that there was a woman in flat track.
Elena Myers was the first woman to win a pro motorcycle race in the U.S. And then, about a year later, Shayna Texter won a flat track. So we brought it up. I mean, we've always kind of heralded that as a very cool thing.
Right.
Right?
But to be honest with you, looking at her career, there hasn't been a lot to talk about.
She's had a few highlights.
She's had
and
a few
she had
highlights.
That 1 year where she tried to ride the twins, but they were just too big and too heavy for her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's tiny. Like, I never got that till I went to Hagerstown. You know, people always say 5 foot and 90 pounds or whatever, right? And then I went to Hagerstown and I looked at her and I was like, oh my God, I understand why she did so crappy on the twins.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's tiny.
Yeah, she's tiny. She's about Pedroza size.
Yeah, and look, if he had to ride a man's bike, he wouldn't do well.
No, of course not.
Send your hate mail to Warren at ntnradio.com for that comment.
There you go.
But yeah, in the twins, Indian swept the podium again, right? It was Mies, Baker, Smith with Halbert, right? Here's the thing that's killing Harley more than anything is that Halbert and some of these other guys that are there are killing them, right? Halbert and the guy who came in fifth was on a KTM this week.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Right? It's like, Harley, get off your ass and do something.
I don't know, but it's like it's getting to the point of embarrassing, I think, for Harley-Davidson.
It really is. Sean Baer was on the KTM LC8950, right? On a privateer team. Sammy Halbert on his Yamaha FZ07 was in fourth place. Then Brian Bauman on the Zanotti Racing was the top Harley, and that's not even a factory Harley.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not taking anything away from Zanotti. I think he's an up-and-comer in the sport. He actually is a pretty good racer and stuff, but it's like, and Zanotti's a good team, right? Zanotti's been around for a while. That's a good team.
Right.
But it's like, man, it's like, then you have four Kawasaki's, and then the first factory Harley was Danny Eslick.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that sad?
And Danny Eslick isn't even a normal.
Right.
Matter of fact, no, he's not factory Harley. Correction. He's on the Harley-Davidson of Staten Island. The factory Harley guys, the first one was 13th at Brandon Robinson.
Hey, Phil, before we kick into motocross, play some music.
You want to play some music?
Play some music.
Oh, like some nasty, funky stuff?
Play something.
I don't know what we got. Oop. You know, I miss having the break music. I think it just gives us more of a flow.
Yeah, we talked about it before the show.
We talked about it before
the show.
I just wasn't expecting it. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I screwed the pooch on that.
No, that's all right. Not a problem.
I screwed the pooch on that one. But I miss it because it's like a break, and it's like, I'm going to make some kind of like cool things where it's like, oh no, it's motocross, you morons, or something like that.
We need something to mix it up a little bit.
So I
didn't get to see motocross this weekend, which really kind of ticked me off because I was, when I wasn't sweating bullets working on the car, everything, I was pretty much collapsed inside.
It was hot afterwards.
It was just.
I was up at Summit Point Raceway for the weekend.
It was hot. It was humid. That was the thing. It was more the humidity because I just couldn't cool down. Even with the fan blowing on me, I just kept on sweating.
And what's funny is I could hear and feel the storms blow by, but they never hit us.
Yeah.
Like the thunder. It was like dirty. But I did slow cook chicken breasts over 2.5 hours on the grill. Oh, delicious.
You have to tell me the secret for that, because when I try cooking things like that on the grill, I always dry it out too much.
All right, well, number one, you're too skinny.
Why?
Well, because only fat people know how to cook.
That's
why I can't trust Yelp, right?
Well, you're eating chicken. You're not eating ribs.
On Yelp, if you give a restaurant review, you should have to put your weight and your height.
You can actually share chicken. But you can't, the ribs, you could say, oh, you're too skinny, you can't eat the ribs, but everybody eats chicken, right?
I don't know about that. North Koreans don't. Look. As we learned on Doghouse Unhinged, what we learned was North Koreans don't eat chicken.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you want to find out what that's about, you can go to patreon.com/NTN. Yep. For as little as $1 a week, you can find out what we say on the other show.
And if you don't, too bad. You missed it.
You'll never know what the North Koreans eat.
That's right. You won't know what North Koreans eat. So.
Important things are always discussed on that show.
Right.
Or disgusting.
Tell me all about the motocross I didn't see this weekend. And literally have not had an opportunity to watch.
The end of race one, I thought Eli Tomac was trying to throw away.
So they didn't race. They didn't race the 250s, huh?
You want to talk about the 250s?
That's usually the way you go.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't know why. I was looking forward to talking about Eli Tomac.
Okay.
So in the 250s, the two guys who we thought in the beginning of the year would rise as cream of the crops rose cream of the crops. Jeremy Martin and Zach Osborne. Mm-hmm. Martin had a 2-1. Osborne had the 1-2. So Martin was the overall.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things you can count on is that the Martin brothers are going to have some part and everything goes on.
Yeah, and Alex had a 7-5, but at one time, I think it was the second race, at one time he was leading and it was him that his brother Jeremy, with like 9 minutes to go, wrestled the lead away from. Plessinger had a great weekend, 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For Plessinger, I thought that was a pretty solid weekend.
Yeah, that is.
And Dylan Ferrandis had 2/4.
Okay.
So, I thought that those guys did really well. But Martin finally had a good weekend because he's been struggling as of late.
He has, but when he's not doing well, it seems like his brother is doing well.
Yeah, and then they both had a decent weekend. Mm-hmm. And Osborne had a good weekend, which he hasn't been doing all that great. Here's something that they said during the coverage, and I actually had to look it up and realize they were right, because a lot of times I fact-check the coverage.
Right.
They said between 450 and 250, every brand of motorcycle has won a race this season.
Every brand?
Every brand that's out on the track has won a race.
Fact check that. I can't.
I did. It's true.
It's true.
It's damn true. Which just shows
combined,
you how many.
If you combine 250.
Right. If you combine 450 and 250, right? And it's funny because it's like there's a lot of different winners out there right now.
That is true. It doesn't look like anybody wants to win the championship yet.
Yeah. It's definitely turning into like a, oh, Nelly. But I love the track there, right? It was a tough track.
It is a cool, it's a cool track.
A lot of elevation change, and that's just always just like, whoo. If you look, Baggett has the points lead, right? Blake Baggett has the points lead still. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's the 450s. I pulled up the wrong points list. I'm sorry. I was like, wait a second, he's not in there anymore. I'm just a dumbass. But not Blake Baggett. Here we go. Osborne has the points lead still. That sounds much better. Mm-hmm. Martin is 18 points behind. Mm-hmm. And then Alex Martin, right? The Martin brothers And Alex Martin's only 24 points, 26 points behind. So the Martin brothers are right there, right, 2 and 3. Yep. Then Savacci, Faulkner, Plessinger really pulled himself up this week with his set of thirds. And then seeing Cirillo and Fernandez, right? I think those are the guys. Those are the guys who all have a shot, but most of them, their shot's fading, right? Mm-hmm. Fernandez is now 66 points back. I don't see.
That's tougher. That's tougher, but the top three are definitely within range, and Osborne's going to have a hard time because he's got two brothers coming right behind him.
Yeah, and those guys work well together.
And it seems like when one's not doing well, the other one is doing well, so that means that you're going to have a problem with
and they've all
one
had,
of the two.
And they've all had their bad... They've all had their bad weeks, right?
Yeah.
There's no guarantee. Like, I thought for sure, especially after last season, I thought for sure Jeremy Martin was going to, like, stomp a mud hole on a lot of people this year.
I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because, here's the thing. Alex Martin has actually overall been doing better, right, than his brother have, even though I think his brother's a little bit more talented, but he's the younger one, right? I think the problem is Alex Martin tends to fade later in the season. And I don't know. He's not an old guy. It's not like it's an age thing. He's got the bad luck thing going on or something, but it seems like the second half of the season does him in. He was like kicking butt last season in the first half early on. And then the second half, he just sort of faded out. So I don't know, but Blake Baggett's not.
Not Blake Baggett.
Not Blake Baggett.
Zach Osborne.
You're
doing what I did.
Yeah, right. Osborne is still, even though he has ups and downs, I think he's still the guy to beat right now.
Yeah, normally going into 250s, going into the outdoor season, I think you're always going to have to deal with the last few years, you always have to deal with the Martins.
Yeah, and that's been going on for a while. That's been going on for a while. They've been there forever, it seems.
It seems like they should be moving up soon.
I don't know.
I don't know. But Osborne has pretty much cemented his hold on his spot there.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to 450s, right, which in the beginning of the weekend, right, like I was sitting there and I was watching the first race, and Tomac had a horrible start. I think he was back to like 16th or something.
He's not had good start.
He dumped it over a little. He got stuck. He got it off routed. He got this, right? Ended up on the first race, he ended up with a 12th.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, how is he throwing away another season?
Yeah, yeah.
And he is. Right? He's a former guest. He's a decent guy. But he is, when the pressure's on, he's punting.
I'll tell you what. The sad thing about that is he's got the perfect setup to win his championship right now because he's got Roczen. Dungey's done. Roczen's out. Potentially forever, even though Ken doesn't believe so, but he's got it set up for him. This was his championship to have. No excuses.
In both seasons, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? Like he should have beat Dungey last in Supercross.
He should have.
He just didn't at go time, he went. He didn't go.
Yeah.
He went.
I hate to say that, but he just seems like he's got the
choking
chokers.
A smile. Yeah, makes you feel good.
I hope it changes, and I hope he does win it because he's a nice guy, and you like, you know.
Yeah.
What do they say about nice guys, right?
Well, they always they finished 12th.
They finished 12th.
Nice guys finished 12th. So Blake Baggett wins the moto.
Yeah.
Right? Who won back-to-back races, right? He won the second race last 2 weeks ago when they were last race, and he won this race, and it was like, oh, man. And Dean Ferris, who is like pretty much a...
Who the hell is he, right?
Right. He's an Australian that came over to like race a couple rounds.
Yeah.
So he's like a nobody. So like, all of Australia were probably like, hey, g'day, mate. Yeah. Shrimp on the barbie.
That's not a bike.
That's not a bike. Yeah, you know, Cheerio, rice. Oh wait, wrong one. And then Josh Grant came in third, which I was shocked that he podiumed.
Yeah,
which is probably insulting.
That tells
him.
You something about the state of the 450 class right now, doesn't it?
It's wide open.
Yeah, it's like nobody wants to take control of it. The problem is that the talent level in the 450 class right now is limited. It's pretty limited, right? It's a small. I'm not saying there's not a lot of talented guys in there, but the kind of the top guys in there don't seem like that would be the Muskins and
Muskins injured, even though he raced
I understand
and he finished.
That.
16th and 6th.
I understand that, but I'm just saying from a talent level, right? The talent guys out there, like the Muskins and the Tomacs, and, you know, there's just not a lot of guys who've been able to consistently put together really top performances. Think about who's been podium finishers, you know, that's in the 450 class right now. There's just a handful.
Yeah, a handful.
Yeah, and the problem is that none of them seems like they want to press very hard right now to win it. So
race two, Tomac gets a much better start.
Yeah.
And he finally works his way to the lead, and he ends up winning the race with Balake Baggett comes in second, Jason Anderson third. So it kind of returned back to a little bit of normal. Josh Grant, 11th race.
Actually not, though. When you think about it, it was a good weekend for Blake Baggett.
It really was. Well, he's been on a bit of a tear, right?
Well,
what's he now, four podiums in a row?
I'm just saying from a point standpoint, Tomac getting a 12th and a 1st is not really help him, right?
Oh, no, because now Tomac finds himself 3rd in points.
Yeah.
3 behind Marvin Musquin, who injured, had a 16th and a 6th.
Yeah.
Right? Blake Baggett's now your points leader, going to be sporting the old red plate.
Yep.
Going into the next round, which is Tennessee, or Bluntville, as I like to call it Bluntville, but it's really Bluntville.
Right.
Bluntville, old Blake Baggett. How come every stop on motocross's name, it sounds like it should be a weed thing, right? Have you noticed that? You have Hangtown, Glen Helen, Thunder Valley, High Point. Plantville, Red Bud, Bud's Creek, Washougo. Right? It all sounds like what you do when you're getting buds.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. I'm surprised they don't have one like called Mean Green.
I'm gonna sit here and have a little bit of Red Bud and just Washougo.
Washougo, right, yeah. I'm surprised Spring Creek hasn't changed its name to Purple Haze.
It's like, yeah.
Maui Wowie, right? Good thing they don't travel out to Hawaii. Be like, woo, the Maui Wowie 250. But yeah, so now Blake Baggett sitting there in a points lead. Jason Anderson has.
He may be able to continue to just rack up points because he's got, I don't know how bad Muskin's injury is and how long that's going to affect him, right? What his recovery period's going to be like. But, you know, there are a limited number of races to deal with. That's the other thing. And unless Tomac can develop some consistency, I mean, how's he going to overtake Baggett, right?
Right.
Baggett's got right now the most consistent guy right now, right?
Yeah.
So
And that's just really weird.
If he wins the championship, Tomac's got to go like a pound his head against the wall. This is his championship to win.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like if Baggett wins, if Balake wins, right?
Yeah,
if Balake wins, what does Monster Energy say?
Yeah.
What does Kawasaki say?
Yep.
Right there. I mean, you're sitting there and you're saying, this is the guy I'm bringing up.
Yep.
I believe he's the best. And to be honest with you, when he's on, he's the best.
And we thought that too, right?
Right. When he was on.
In the 250s, we thought he was going to be the guy to watch.
I'm not saying
he's not, but the problem is, inconsistency will kill
which
you.
Which he never had in 250. In 250s, we used to call him a machine.
Yeah.
Tomac gets out front, the race is over. Tomac gets this close, the race is over.
Right.
Right? Now it's like, imagine your Monster Energy and you're going, oh man, we brought this guy up and he threw away. We gave him a year to learn the bikes.
Yeah.
And he threw away the Supercross Championship.
Yep.
And he's in the process of throwing away the Motocross Championship.
Yeah. And we know he's capable of some dominating performances, but he doesn't seem to be capable of consistency.
Right. He's not. I mean, you're hard pressed to say he's your number one rider now, right? Your number one rider got to be somebody that can win a championship.
I think what a lot of people don't realize is that Supercross and Motocross are very, very different sports.
Yes.
And so for a guy to do well, it may be that he's stronger in Supercross and he blew that opportunity. And now he's in Motocross and you can tell because go look at how the Martins have done when they've done the Supercross.
Yeah.
Not even close, right? They're not nearly as competitive. It's very, very different. And, you know, I don't know what it is, but yeah, you said Tomac probably should have won the Supercross this year. Well, with Roczen out and Dungey having the issues that Hay had this year. How do you not win that, right? How do you not win
that? How do you win 9 in a row
how do you
and win? Not win the championship?
You got to work hard at it. It's called sucking really bad down
there. Go Wreckers or Checkers. Right. Right. Yeah. You know, and he's about to do that in motocross. And if you're Team Kawasaki, mm-hmm. are you in a little bit of a panic mode about that?
Yeah, probably.
If I'm Team Kawasaki,
you gotta wonder.
If I'm Team Kawasaki, I'm a little upset that seeing Sorolla and Savacci mm-hmm. aren't doing better in motocross.
Yeah,
right. Because now I'm like, I don't know what my future looks like. So next week they're going to be this weekend. Ken, road trip to Blountville.
Road trip to Blountville.
No. we'll take the camper so we ain't got to drive.
Hey man,
next Tuesday we're gonna be like, buzz again. Hit the.
We're heading out to Blountville.
We're going to Blountville. Blountville, Tennessee, which is, if you're in the D.C. metro area, what did we figure that was? About 8 hours?
Maybe seven.
Hours? Yeah. Somewhere in there? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was hard to tell because once you got there.
We had a long way to go beyond that.
The smoke was so thick.
That's right.
That probably makes me a bad person that I'm equivalating. I just made that word up. Yeah. I read a whole article last night about people who use words they make up. We're going to switch to World Superbike.
I'm okay. I wasn't saying anything about the music, but that's okay. But you can think that if you want.
Oh, you were going to say about me making up words?
Yes.
I do that a lot.
You do it a lot.
Exactly.
Phil's regular language is mostly made up words. So
that's actually true. I try really hard to use real words here on the show. But we'll be dip, slip, trip on the pie side. I used to love that movie. What was that movie? Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang. If you ever want to be able to speak to Phil in person, you're going to have to study Pootie Tang. Biggie Shorty was my favorite character.
You know what is? I was watching World Superbike this weekend, and I found that Chaz Davies has determined that there is a proper way to take Jonathan Rea out of a race. The problem is he has to injure himself along the way.
that was scary.
That it was scary because Jonathan Rea ran over him,
and where he hit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of looked Simicelli-ish.
It did, but he...
But he hit that weird...
the little hump there.
Hump that right. they have there. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. Thank God for that. I do have an injury update. I don't know if you caught the injury update on Davies, but he does have a fractured lumbar.
Yeah, he's got a fractured vertebrae.
And a contusion on his thumb.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the reason he didn't get back on the bike, because we know they get back on for a broken bike, but right. he probably cut his thumb up.
Splinter. I think it was a splinter.
It could be a rock. Right. He probably ripped a nail, right? Oh, I wouldn't.
But he, not by not racing in the second race, that he pretty much has done himself in now for the season. Even though they haven't gotten a break yet.
Yeah, he's over 100 points back. He's 111 points back.
The fact that we should mention that, he was by far the fastest in race one. There's not even a question about it. But Jonathan Rea was close to him. The only problem with Jonathan Rea was close to him when he went down.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, Ken Kaplan.
Okay.
Because once again, I show that I am right.
Yeah.
And Ken Kaplan is not right.
About?
But I thought Vandermark was the fastest guy in race one until he threw it away.
Until he threw it away. Yeah, that is true. That's a good point. At that point in time, Vandermark was, but he was already gone by then. Okay.
Yeah, all right. I'm not
disagreeing with that. Vandermark was the fastest, but you know, you're always your fastest before you wreck, right?
Yeah, I mean, we say that on the dugouts. Yeah, right. There's a couple phrases we should make in the shirt.
Yes.
You're always fastest before you wreck.
Yep.
And the smoke comes from the factory. Once you let it out,
that's
you're
it.
Done.
You can't get it back.
You can't put it back right. in. But yeah, so Vandermark was really fast, and then he crashed out. And I'm not sure Davies was much faster than Melandri, who did the old...
He in race one, he was.
I guess he was.
In race one, he was, because let's be honest. I mean, the the guy that was in a distant third place ends up winning the race.
7 seconds back.
7 seconds back.
Look, signs on every dog's ass.
That's
Tom
right.
Sykes.
There's nothing like watching your teammate pick his bike up to get that seven seconds back quick. And or having your teammate
run over the competition.
Yeah.
No, first things first. We're joking about it, but we're joking about it because Chess Davies is okay. And we're glad he's
Okay.
I mean, he's injured, but they said he'll be back for Laguna.
I guess we know
sake,
that's not beyond us to make jokes of somebody else.
Yeah, we're not. But we, I think we kind of, in general, like Chess Davies on the show. And normally, we just say disparaging things about people we don't
like. Yeah, but he was also my early season pick to win the Champions this year, and I can sort of like erase that right now.
Yeah, you can throw that out. You can throw that out like you're going into turn four.
Especially because Jonathan Rea picked up the bike and went on.
And got third. Huge points pull. Right? If he DNF'd or finished way further back, right now he's got a 50-point lead on Tom Sykes in the championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
That 16 points, that effort to pick
difference.
It up might be the championship.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that is, if the championship is less than 16 points, that's where it is, right there, all day, picking it up. Tom Sykes was having a good race all by himself, just looked like a track day.
but that was my point. Melandri, he was 7 seconds back. Melandri was behind him.
Yeah, that's probably true. So. But, yeah, as Ken said, on the last lap, Davies tosses it with about, what, two turns to go? Maybe three?
Two or three.
Two or three turns to go. Davies loses it.
Let's see. It was less than 7 seconds to the end of the race, right?
And Ray runs him over, hits him, launches a motocross.
I still call him Johnny Ray.
I'm going to call him Johnny Ray. Screw the people in England.
That's all right. What the hell do they know about the language?
Yeah, right? If I wanted to know what they thought, we wouldn't have whooped them twice.
That's right. They didn't invent the language.
Maybe.
No, they didn't.
I'm sure they didn't.
No, the Latins did.
Yeah.
They just slurred a lot.
And they would have been the Romans, not the Latins.
No, it's Latins.
The Latins.
Chico
and the man didn't.
Yes.
Send your hate mail to Warren.
That's Latinos.
Warren at Corrado.com.
That's right.
Corrado.com. Ray hits and launches the bike up, and our podium looks like this. Tom Sykes, Alex Lowe's. The one time Alex Lowe stays on two wheels the entire race, gets a second.
Well, let's say never give up. You never know what's going to happen ahead of you.
You know, believe it or not, he hasn't been doing too bad. He had a third last round, right? So, I mean, Alex Lowe's is looking like he wants to be a pro racer.
Mm-hmm.
And Sykes wins it, and then Johnny Rea picks the bike up and gets third. Huge points pull for him. That put Torres in fourth, who started on the pole for the next race. But just a weird, like, I'll be honest with you, until the last three laps, I thought, man, what a boring race.
And you talking about race two?
Race one.
Race one was pretty boring.
And a couple people, I won't mention Andrew Gardner or Ken Kaplan by name.
Right.
But some of you did spoil the race a little for me.
How?
Well, you said, "Oh, it wouldn't have mattered." I thought Rea had wiped
out. I didn't tell you my picks. I said I got zero. Anyway.
I would have got zero anyways
but
on
I didn't
the first
say why.
One. And I was like, "Damn it!" And then I get a message this morning because my laptop died over the weekend, and I just finally got a new laptop and stuff. And I get a message over the weekend. I mean, this morning before I was literally watching the race. I was like, Melandri just crashed, so it was like three laps to go, and a message pops up on my Facebook Messenger, and it says, "Woo! Did you see the last race, lap of World Superbike Race 1? That was off the hook when so-and-so did so-and-so." I was like,
that was stupid.
You mother.
Yeah. All you knew is who I would have picked. Obviously didn't score any points, but you had no idea who it was.
Well, I thought Ray, so.
You thought I was going to pick Rea for the double,
but
I went Davies Rea.
Yeah.
So I would have got zero in Race 1 anyway. So.
Zippy.
Mm-hmm.
And then race two comes along, and race two, it really wasn't that exciting of a race either.
Not so much. It was a little bit interesting in race two because there was this talk from Chess Davies before the race that he thought Marco Melandri was going to miss. It's like Marco Melandri, number one, there's only a 50-50 chance that he's going to finish the race, number one. Number two, he didn't look like he was that strong in race one. Now, I understand the Ducatis seem to be doing pretty well on that track, but you know what? Maybe that was just support for your teammate type thing, and he didn't really mean
maybe
it.
Maybe they gave him. Maybe they gave him Davey's bike.
That's a thought.
Maybe like, here's the fast bike this week.
Yeah, right. You get to run the fast bike.
You get to run the fast bike. Or maybe because the team didn't have to prep two bikes, maybe he got that little extra TLC that he needed. I'm not sure how that all works, right? I feel like they each have their own team. But, you know, I mean, they probably, I'm sure Team Davies was much more likely to share data and stuff with Team Melandri when your guy isn't racing.
Yeah. But right? and until Melandri made that move to the front,
he didn't look that great.
No, he didn't. It looked like he was going to be. I figured, okay, he's going to end up with a podium, but it's going to be a third, right? He's not going to do any better than that.
And then Jordi Torres, who was on the verge of giving BMW their first podium in 4 years, which I didn't realize it's been that long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
In 4 years, he breaks down. Mm-hmm. He goes to boom, boom, right? I mean, once you let the smoke out.
He let the smoke out.
You don't let... No, we didn't see smoke. Something went on that. It's some kind of mechanical.
You can't, there's no way you can sit there and say, yes, Jordi Torres is likely to win a race. He's just not...
I wouldn't have put him likely to be on the podium. He was damn close to being on two podiums.
Not on the BMW. Right,
he was damn close to being on two. Yeah, he was a fourth.
Yeah, he was riding that thing hard.
He was
probably harder than that bike was meant to be ridden.
That was like he was sleeping with a woman and called her sister's name in bed. Yeah. Right, he was holding on and going.
When I heard that, and this kind of like ruined it for me because when I heard that Chaz Davis wasn't going to race in race two, it was like, I don't even know that it's going to be all that exciting to watch, but I'll watch it anyways. But I just kind of thought it was going to be, it's going to be a Rhea Sykes race, you know? And lo and behold,
Marco
Melandri, right? So I'm glad I watched it because I wouldn't have believed it. They said Marco Melandri. So I would have thought, oh, so Sykes hit Rhea is what you're saying. right.
Hey, repeat of race one, right? Yeah. Something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, Melandri gets a win. It's first of the season. He's been on the podium a handful of times.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you go back a few years.
No, this year he's been on a handful of times, right?
On the podium. I'm sorry.
It's been a while.
Not on the top step.
Top step of the podium. No.
It was on an Aprilia last time, right?
Yeah, and I think it was, you know.
A 1964, something like that?
Something like that. I was going to say, that's when they still actually had dinosaurs in the engine that hadn't been converted to oil yet.
I want to say, what was it, like 1950? No, I'm sorry. It was like 2014 was when he last on an Aprilia won a race?
Yeah.
I think it was 14, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was 2014.
Or 13. Could have been longer than that. Because I don't remember.
Let's put it this way. The last time he won a race, he actually was over 5 feet in height. Okay?
Or under 50.
Yeah, under 50, right.
But good for him. The points, you know, Ray got a second. Sykes got a third. So he did build on his lead. Recovered some of the I guess the better thing is recovered some of the points that he lost the day before. So now Johnny Ray's sitting there with a 50-point lead over Sykes. Davies is pretty much punted.
Yeah, this weekend killed
him.
This
weekend just ruined his championship hopes. I don't think Melandri had any to begin with.
No, I mean, right now they need to They need to hope that Rhea has some DNFs. That's their only hope.
Yeah, that's anybody's only hope at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that Sykes is looking good. He's looked good recently, even though he had a little help in race one, obviously. But he has looked good, but he doesn't look like he's got the hunger that he used to race with.
Did you see, if I was Johnny Ray and Chaz Davies, I'd be hanging outside the television commentator's booth, and when they came out, I'd be doing the old aluminum bat trick on them, right? Because they said, like, I don't know, a lap. I'm not even sure if it was a lap before that. They were like, oh, and Tom Sykes there in third in case these guys get to mixing it up and anything happens.
Yep.
And you know, they probably say that every week.
Right, yeah.
Right, you know, it's like, oh, yeah. But this week it happens.
In all forms of racing.
It happens.
It happens that the commentators will say something, and then sure enough, that's what happens.
Well, did you see what happened at the 24-hour Le Mans?
No, I did not.
So I know this is four-wheel racing and stuff, but it's kind of the same thing. in the GT class, right, with the Corvettes race. And mm-hmm. if anybody that doesn't know, I do follow Corvette racing and stuff. I enjoy it. I follow.
Because we actually have Americans who win there.
We do. And the one, Tommy Milner, is somebody we know in person, right? Mm-hmm. He lives close by to me and stuff. I see him around. So it keeps me interested in, mm-hmm. you know, seeing how my friend does overseas. And the 63, he had some tire issues, right? But the other Corvette was the 63. And the last lap, he's leading. And the Aston Martin does a Hail Mary, like, to dive in on him, right? Mm-hmm. Cuts underneath them, but too hot, can't stop, right? And we see that all the time in motorcycle racing, car racing, mm-hmm. right? Road racing, you go in too hot, you miss. And he misses, and the vet pulls in, and he comes over, and he hits the they rub a little, and then the vet takes off. And now it's like, whoo, vet's got, I don't know, a second and a half lead, and the party's over.
Yeah.
The vet goes into the chicane, he goes to turn, and it don't turn.
It just goes straight.
Well, he broke off the valve stem of the tire, and the back tire was flat, and he turned, and it just kept going straight. And it was like,
so the Aston Martin did just what it needed to do. Just take off the tire.
Yeah, right?
That's right. You know what? Tires, they got to have air.
It's funny because literally, like, a turn before the chicane, the guy goes, unless the Corvette has some kind of problems, this is guaranteed win.
Yep.
And it was like, whoo, hey. And he's like, oh, he should turn for that chicane. Yeah. Oh, wow. Dirty. So that always happens.
That seems like that happens a lot.
But the World Superbike, go back to World Superbike. You know, the nice thing is that we don't have to, that Johnny Rea doesn't get the double next round, right? You know, Tom Sykes should be able to battle him for second place on the podium.
If Johnny Rea doubles in the next one.
And he won't.
Then they go to their
guaranteed he won't.
Don't they go to their break after the next one?
Yeah, but guaranteed he won't because.
What do they do? They go on a break for like 4 months, right?
It's 10 weeks.
It's some ridiculous amount of time.
It's completely ridiculous. But what I'm alluding to is if you listen to the Doghouse, obviously this won't come as a big surprise to you, although you know how strongly I was against this. Mm-hmm. Motorsport.com is saying that they have learned that Jake Gagne. Mm-hmm. will be replacing Nikki Hayden on the Honda World Superbike team at Laguna Seca this next round.
Oh, just for Laguna Seca?
That's all they're saying.
Okay, so that's all they're committing to.
That's all they're committing
to. That doesn't bother
me as
much.
That's not as bad as him taking it for the season.
But I will say this. Like, number one, we really like Jake Gagne.
We do.
He was very nice to us when we were at both stops.
He was funny, too. He was a riot to hang out.
So I wish him well. I hope maybe it's a tryout, and if he does really well on that bike.
The problem is
maybe he'll get a longer ride. I don't think it's a bad thing. I know we think there's some other people might be better
that. It's not that I think somebody can do better on the bike, mm-hmm. right? And I was trying to explain this to somebody when I heard the announcement yesterday. It's not that I think that, because I suggested Josh Hayes go to that bike, right?
For different reasons.
It wasn't because I think Josh Hayes is faster or a better racer than Jake Gagne. Mm-hmm. You will never hear that word out of my mouth.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I think Josh Hayes is one of the hardest working guys in motorcycle racing.
And his career,
even though I poop on him.
And there's no downside on his career.
There's no downside to his career if he goes
and he
rides an eighth place bike to 10th.
Yeah, right.
Right? There's no doubt. And if he rides an eighth place bike to 10th, mm-hmm. I would say Josh Hayes had a hell of a ride. Even mm-hmm. though I don't like him on a personal level, mm-hmm. I'd say he had a hell of a ride and I'd be proud of him.
Right.
Right? I'm worried that Jake Gagne is going to get on the bike, and right now it looks like it's a one-and-done contract, mm-hmm. and he's going to go out there. I mean, he's not losing anything because he's so far back in Superbike points in Moto America. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Right? But if he takes an eighth-place bike mm-hmm. and finishes 14th because it's the first time he's racing against these guys, it's his first time on his mm-hmm. bike, does that look good for Jake Gagne?
It doesn't look good for him, but there is a possible upside. And that is, he takes an eighth place bike and he gets a fifth or a fourth.
But it's not.
He may get a real ride next season.
I believe Jake Gagne mm-hmm. on a good bike mm-hmm. could do top five, maybe podium, low podium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The problem is I don't believe the bike's good enough to be a top six bike.
Maybe. Maybe, but that's actually good for him. The expectations are low. And if he gets a top six, it's going to look like a friggin' win almost, right?
Right, right. If he can get a top six, that's a win for Jake Gagne and maybe the best thing that's happened to Moto America
right.
since
And the Fireblade will be better next season.
Right, so. And the Fireblade will be better next season. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the Americans' shot being a loaded shot against them. That's my biggest pitch.
Maybe. But I think that if he got an eighth, a ninth, or tenth, or something like that.
But if it's rainy.
I don't think that hurts him one bit.
If it's rainy and it's nasty and it's mm-hmm. this. You know, especially for what could be the last time they race Laguna Seca.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think there's a downside for him. Number one, it gets him world exposure. He's going to have a hard time getting any other place. Not getting it out of Moto America.
He ain't getting it out of Moto America. I agree with that. I mean, I understand why Jake's doing it, and I wish him all the best of luck, and I hope that thing happens.
And like I said, if he gets a fifth or a sixth or something like that, he's going to he'll look like a world beater.
Yeah, if he gets a fifth or sixth, I think you see him get offered a contract by somebody.
I would hope so.
And then they'll also take a more serious look at guys like Heron again and Cam Bouvier. Right, guys who are beating him in the Moto America, if they turn around mm-hmm. and they say, wow, he came in, jumped on a crappy bike.
Well, let's not forget Bobby Fong.
Bobby Fong's old, though. I like Bobby Fong, but he's old.
Bobby Fong's a lot younger than Josh Hayes, which you were going to put up for riding.
But I was putting Josh Hayes up there because if he goes out there and finishes 14th, who cares?
Nothing against Jake Gagne, but I actually think Bobby Fong would do better on that bike.
I agree.
Yeah. So
I agree.
He seems like he can get more out of less.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. I agree, and I'm not knocking Jake Gagne.
I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. I actually hope that it's going to work
out
for him.
I hope that motorsport.com is right, and I hope that this does happen. And hopefully things work out so that Jake Gagne can get some good positive exposure for himself and the other riders in Moto America. Because we know Moto America isn't doing. And that is actually the next round, which is 3 weeks away, July 7th through 9th. We have a little bit. You teased me before the mm-hmm. show about some MotoGP news.
Well, rumor.
Rumor, man.
Rumor, but Interestingly enough, it may actually. This story was, by the way, on MotoGP.com, which they do not generally play rumor. Okay?
No.
So what they do is they tease.
They do tease.
And there's an interview on MotoGP.com with Zarco mm-hmm. talking about replacing Rossi on Factory Yamaha.
I am seeing the title of the article, mm-hmm. and it says, Zarco, taking over for Valentino would be a dream. Ooh, teasing?
And we were the first ones to bring that up.
I believe we were.
We were. The first ones to bring that up.
You know, we're the first a lot, and we don't get credit.
Well, we do get credit. Just
well, we get credit from a bunch of bums.
We give it to each other. That's the
thing. Yeah, right. I mean, right. We don't get credit other than us. You know, you won't see all the people that listen tweet and all these things say to MotoGP, well, hey, we could have told you that was going to happen if you listened to the Doghouse a month ago. Right? You know, sometimes I feel like their writers listen to the show to get their mm-hmm. content. Yeah, I feel like we're like the Mark Levin of motorcycle.
So here's where I might tend to disagree with the whole rumor thing, even though I was definitely in there, talking about it because of how good Zarco has done on a satellite Yamaha, is whether or not Yamaha is going to make their decision based on revenue or whether they want to make it based on wins. Because they've done a lot of revenue-based choices in the past. Bringing back Valentino Rossi from Ducati to Yamaha was purely a revenue pull. Purely a revenue pull.
Well, here's and I didn't read the article, so mm-hmm. I'm going to play dumb. Mm-hmm. Is Zarco talking for next year?
Well, we don't make anything for this show, so you could actually play it if you wanted to.
Oh, is there?
But we're not prepped for that now.
I didn't know there was a physical listen.
There's a video, but we could.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm just looking. So here's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. Right? Is I think Yamaha, would be very smart.
Mm-hmm.
To lock Zarco up, maybe overpay him for a satellite team,
mm-hmm.
and say when Rossi retires,
right.
you keep performing, that's your ride.
Yeah.
Right? But I think they would be stupid
mm-hmm.
to force Rossi out.
Oh, I don't think it's a matter of forcing Rossi out. Rossi's made it very clear. 2017 is his last year. Now, if he decides to come back again, he's going against everything he said when he renewed 2 years ago.
Right.
That's it. And I think in the offseason last year, he actually said, it's time for me to do something else.
Yes, he did, right?
Doesn't mean he doesn't change his mind. As I said, if that's my point about the revenue pool, right?
Right.
If money is the most important thing,
here's what I'm saying, is if you're Yamaha and Rossi says, I'm retiring, you throw him a big party, you tell Zarco, hey, you're moving up.
You would hope.
You think, right?
You would hope, but that's only, but Zarco's not going to be a big money pull. So if
but who is going to be taking a big money pull over that's available once Rossi's gone? Who's the big money pull?
You don't think there's any big money pulls out there?
I think Zarco, with the way he's performing, will pull. Who are you thinking?
Well,
they're not getting Marquez.
Why are they not getting? His contract runs out. He's up for a contract renewal.
Oh.
Or do they bring back Jorge? Who's going to be? You don't think they bring back Jorge?
No.
I hope not, but they've got a history of bringing back.
I think their money pool right now.
They have a history of bringing back washed up riders.
I think their money pool right now has banged millions. And by that, I think the money pull right now, I think the two big money pulls in MotoGP right now, excluding Rossi, right? Rossi's a phenom on his own. I think Marquez and Vinales. I think Vinales being hot on that bike early, and Vinales has had so much exposure.
But a lot of nothing since then. He's been a letdown.
So much exposure because Vinales brought something to Moto 3 that I don't know if they ever had before.
It's Hilton.
And that's herpes. No.
That's right.
But that was exposure in America. That was exposure on American TV. He actually has a fan base in the U.S.
But he only did that because of Paris Hilton.
I'm not saying that.
Right.
You're wrong.
Right. We can bring our own horse to racing if we want. Maybe we need to do that. Maybe that's what Moto America needs.
Horse? Listen. Big boobed women sell food. They sell everything.
Maybe we should bring, what was her name? That was the one that was with her with Perez Hilton. What was her?
Lionel Richie's daughter,
Nicole Richie,
or Kim Kardashian. Yeah, right. So they were all friends.
Yeah, right. Maybe they need to have her start sleeping with the Moto America thing, and we'll get actually some American fans to watch it.
Yeah, one of the guys from Moto America needs a bang.
I was going to say Ray Dong Chong, but I think she's probably, 60 now, right?
Yeah, I was going to say she's like your age, Ken.
Yeah,
oh, my God, Terminator? No, that's a Predator.
Predator.
Terminator, whatever, same difference. Well, I've always said, and I've actually said this, I think I've said it on the show, Moto America needs to get one of their riders on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, it never happened.
Right? I mean, you want to save motorcycle racing.
That's a prize position. They have no pull to make that happen.
Right. They need a publicist.
What is Moto America again?
They could be like, so this guy, well, they might bring him on just on the coolness factor. Like, oh, he's a, because of Maverick Vinales, right? Nobody talked about Moto 3 racing until Paris Hilton started banging this weird guy.
Well, then somebody in Moto America has got to sleep with somebody that people actually know. Okay?
Yeah, or be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, but
it's like the same thing. You have to buy their way onto it. You know what? Whatever they're spending the money on now doesn't work.
That's clear.
You know. But anyways, you know,
bring Paris Hilton back.
If
she can work her way through Moto America. She's not that old.
You know, there's too many guys in Moto America I like that I just would hate to see that happen to. I don't know. Have we heard anything from Paris Hilton in a few years? She's probably a nice person now.
No, I kind of doubt that.
But yeah, I like the idea of Zarco. I think Vinales.
It's the right move. That's the thing. It's the right move for Yamaha, and it's the right move for Zarco because he's proven that he can win or capable of winning on a Yamaha that's way less equipped than the factory bike has got from having the latest technical upgrades, right?
And I mean, he'll have to be faster than Rossi on it because his ears are half the size.
That's right.
Right.
Well, but that's Rossi's advantage because they don't have the winglets anymore, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Ooh, earlets.
You know, pretty soon, imagine what Rossi's ears are going to look like in about 10 years when they get hairy.
Kind of like a
an Ewok.
Cocker Spaniel, maybe.
Or an Ewok.
Right? They'll just hang down.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good move for both, provided Rossi sticks to his words and retires, right?
Well, do we want to like reinforce our... Well, you could listen to the interview and see what you say, okay? Because this may be just stirring the waters, right? It may just be purely stirring the waters, okay? So that's it. But we remember, you heard it here first.
Yeah. I mean, because the only person I could see that I would sign over him is Marquez.
Yeah.
Right? That would be the only person... If I thought, and I can't imagine Honda's going to let Marquez walk away. A, they have no replacement.
You know, sometimes some of the people that you don't think they have a viable replacement in there, you got to look at some of the guys that are on the satellite bikes and say, what would they do if they had a bike that was capable of a half second more per lap?
Yeah, right? But but we don't talk about whoever's on the LCR Honda. And notice how I said whoever's on the LCR Honda, because I don't even know who's on the LCR Honda.
Somebody with the last name Crutchlow?
Who hasn't been lighting the world on fire.
He's actually looked pretty good. If he had a faster bike, he might be doing a lot better.
And who's on the other one? Jack Miller?
Yeah, I think Jack Miller. Who was expected to be a lot stronger.
Right.
But then again, if you're on a
but
bike.
Okay, let's go over the roster a little bit. Let's bench race.
Okay.
Right? You got Vinales, who's locked into Yamaha, and Yamaha's, right? He's locked up, and that seems to be where they want. You got DeVizioso on a Ducati.
Which he's doing so good on a Ducati, it'd be hard to pry him off. And we know he's been on a Repsol Honda before, and he was fast on a Repsol Honda. It's going to be hard to get him back.
Yeah, it'd be hard to get him back because I think he likes being the number one bike right now. You got Marquez, whose contract's up, but I can't see Honda letting him walk.
I don't think so either. I think they'll lock him up. They'll lock him up before mid-season this year.
I think so. There's Pedrosa.
Well, that's a ride that could be available,
right? But if I'm Honda,
he was on the list of rumors, believe it or not, for Yamaha when Rossi left. Believe it or not,
yes, I believe that he's a very capable rider.
I don't
rider.
Know why,
but if I'm Honda, I'm not letting Marquez walk away for Crutchlow or Miller, saying I'm going to build my future on Miller, Crutchlow, or Chico Rabat.
And more importantly, I don't see Yamaha doing that. Right.
And Yamaha, if you look at it, who do you got? You got Vinales, Rossi. If Rossi retires, it gives you Zarco and Folger.
Who's actually not looked bad.
Folger hasn't looked bad. Zarco's looked way better.
And he makes a damn good cup of coffee.
And I do respect his dark roast.
Yep.
Lorenzo, I think Lorenzo has hurt his career.
I think Lorenzo's career is like a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, because of the way he raced on the Yamaha after he made the announcement he was going to Ducati, would say it's got probably a little salty. He's not a 9-time champion like Rossi, where you can sit there and say, all right, well, he's been finishing 6th on a Ducati, but we'll bring him back to Yamaha, right? He's a 2-time champion that was a bit of a jerk to you.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that both of them bring a pretty respectable fan base with him, but Rossi is a guarantee, brings people in the door. He brings people in the gate. He sells $1 bazillion worth of T-shirts.
Right.
So for Yamaha, it's like, well, there's no real downside. We probably figure he's not going to win another championship, but he'll make us a lot of money along the way.
Right, and he'll be competitive.
And it helps him with sponsors, right?
He'll win some races. And when he wins races, we're going to sell an S-ton of T-shirts.
Right.
And hats and stuff like that.
Right.
But Lorenzo doesn't have that appeal.
No,
not that same level.
Not at the level. Oh, no way. Not at the level. And the thing about it is, I think that Rossi was probably the one person who could go to Ducati and flop like he did and not have it hurt his reputation.
Right.
Lorenzo, it clearly has.
Yeah. I mean, the only name that I could see Yamaha trying to woo better than Zarco if Rossi does retire, but I think it would be hard and they'd have to ask his wife, is Stoner, right? The allure for Stoner is to be the only guy to win a championship on all three bikes.
Yep.
Which is something even Rossi couldn't do.
That's true.
And that I could see pull Stoner out of retirement, depending on what his deal is with
Ducati's. It all depends on how much money his wife wants.
Right. It's like how many Ferraris, how many fur coats.
That's exactly
right. How many
maids,
how many nannies.
I'm sure it all comes down to she has to name the price.
Right,
because I guarantee there's a dollar amount where she would say, yeah, go ride.
Go ride. Have fun. Have at it. Me and my new boyfriend will be fun. We'll live comfortably on that money.
She doesn't give a crap about whether or not he wins a championship on a third make. She doesn't care.
No, she doesn't.
But she does care how many zeros there are after that salary, right?
Yeah. So. And like, if I was Yamaha, I probably would entertain a talk with Stoner just on that.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll bet these go on all the time, these talks.
I bet.
I'll bet it's all the time.
I bet
time.
It's like us sitting here.
We see it's like the tip of the iceberg what we see.
Yeah, there's probably all kinds of backdoor stuff going on.
Right, just trying to see who's available, who might be interested.
We need to bug.
How big a check they're going to expect.
We need to bug like some high-up
Do these guys have agents like you know, team sporting guys
do?
We actually know press agents, but we do know. Yeah, that's true. You're right. We do know somebody. But I don't know if they all do, or you got to be a certain stature before you rate one.
Well, believe it or not, a lot of them have agents in the beginning to get the bigger deals, and I don't know how much they stay with them afterwards, right? But
some of them I can see
because your agent actually helps you get the right ride and the sponsorship.
You got to be a pretty crappy agent to only rate somebody that's a backmarker, right? And what does that say about you as an agent?
Yeah, most agents. I will talk to the agent we know and see if she'll come on the show.
Okay.
That might be actually really interesting.
It might be interesting to have that conversation.
Yeah, because we have a lot of weird conversations, and that might be a good one. But anyways, we should probably get out of here. I'm already tired of talking.
I am too.
I don't like you.
We went very long.
We did. We were way too long. I think I just hit the wrong music. I did. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to do this.
I like that.
We're going to pull this American rock out to break. We'll be back next week. This week, MotoGP is in Assen. Is Moto America in Utah?
I don't know. I have no idea. When are we going to have a doubles weekend for World Superbike and
I'm going to have to look at that because I don't know.
It's getting late and we haven't seen one yet. I can't believe we're about to get into July and we haven't seen one.
Well, I think that's one of the things that they wanted to do was to get away from having them both race on the same weekend. So you had things. Plus, World Superbike, their next round is in 3 weeks. And, Championship of Utah is this week for Moto America. If you're one of the 14 people in the country that gets bean, enjoy the race.
And MotoGP is where?
MotoGP is in a little country called Assen, or a little city called Assen.
Yeah, they're okay. So they're going to the Netherlands.
Yep, we'll be back next week.